Now, tomorrow is my spiritual birthday. I think I told you that last year about this time. But on February 19th, 1981, 25-year-old sinner, after discovering that God sent Jesus to die for my sins so I could be made right with God, and learning that all I had to do was to put my trust in Jesus and I would receive a new life, eternal life, through faith in Him, well, the first time the gospel made sense to me. I mean, I had heard it a few times before then, but that night it made sense to me. And of course, one of the things that was pretty clear is you did not have to convince me that I was a sinner. I was pretty practiced at that. You didn't have to convince me that I had gone my own way. And you didn't have to convince me that my sin was actually an offense to God. But to put my trust in Jesus, to surrender my ways to His ways, well, that wasn't so easy for me. After all, I found it pretty hard to really trust anyone, let alone God. But this pastor who shared the gospel with me this evening then told me something I'll never forget. He said that if I believe that God exists, then I also need to understand that the evil one, the devil, the deceiver, also exists. And he told me that this evil one, this deceiver, would put doubts into my heart, would put doubts into my mind, and would do everything in his power to get me to not believe. He said I was close to trusting in Jesus, but I needed to deal with that. And that made sense to me as well. But instead of receiving God's gift of salvation at that moment, I told this pastor I didn't want him to be the one persuading me to receive Jesus. That if I was going to put my trust in Jesus, it was going to be something between me and God. And so he left. And I sat there in my little apartment for maybe 2 or 3 hours, just thinking about what Jesus had done for me, looking back over my life and how it had gone with me running the show. And then it struck me. If God was willing to give His one and only Son to die for me, if God was willing to give His best, His only Son, His one and all for me, what struck me was this, is that then there was nothing in my life that I couldn't trust Him with. If He was that good. And so right then and there, I realized that God was truly good, truly loving, and I could trust Him. In fact, that I wanted to trust Him. So that's what I did. That night, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that night, my life changed forever. You see, when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I became a new person. This old person, this old foul-mouthed, angry, anxiety-ridden, aimless, and empty sinner found a new life. I now had a relationship with God I never knew was possible. I had a peace in my life I could not explain. And for the first time in my life as an adult, I could laugh freely without the help of alcohol. In receiving Jesus, it was as if God had downloaded some kind of new power into the core of my being. I felt clean, unburdened, and alive. God was with me, and every day was a new adventure. And what was even more amazing is that all of a sudden I had this incredible hunger for God's Word. I was changed. I was a new person. I could not believe how great it was to know Jesus, to walk with Jesus, and tell others that Jesus had found me. And I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus wants to change your life. That Jesus is far more than a religion. He is the life you have been looking for all your life. And when you receive Him, He will change your life in ways you never thought possible. You see, far too many people have never heard about the life God gives when you receive Jesus. This morning, I want to be clear about this. I want you to know the good news about Jesus. What you should expect to find when you receive Jesus. So if you brought your Bible with you today, I'm going to encourage you to turn to the Gospel of John. The passage we're going to look at this morning is the very first passage in that Gospel. John 1, 1 through 18. If you'd like a copy of God's Word to follow along, slip up your hand. We'll slip this into your hand. And if you don't want a copy of God's Word, we'd love you to take this home with you. John 1, 1 through 18, where God's Word is going to tell us about the life you can expect to find when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the first thing that you will find is this. You will find the light of life. Look now at verses 1 through 5 with me. If you don't have a copy, you can just look on the screen. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now, when you hear the Word, that's Jesus being referred to there. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing has been made that has been made. We learned about that bit last week. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. See, Jesus is the light of life because He is the Word. The very expression of God, the very speech of God. When you listen to Jesus, you hear God's voice. What we see here is that Jesus is more than God's messenger. You see, I love the grammar of this portion of Scripture. See, John uses a little Greek preposition that tells us that the Word, Jesus Christ, has always existed in the presence of God. That little preposition, that little word he uses is a Greek word called pros. And it is translated by the word with, which commonly means to or towards. So the picture that John wants us to grasp is this picture of intimacy. That the Word was with God. That Jesus has always existed in a face-to-face, intimate relationship with the Father. He has always enjoyed a personal relationship with the Father from all eternity. Jesus has always been with the Father. And see, that's why God the Father sent Jesus to us. So that when we receive Him, when you receive Him, you too can be with the Father. You see, Christianity is not a religion we adhere to, but a relationship we entered into. A relationship with God. That's why when you receive Jesus, you are not simply receiving a messenger of God, but God Himself. For here we see in these same words, as plain as day, that from the very beginning, the Word, Jesus, was God Himself. Jesus has always been with the Father and has always been God. For it is through Him now all things have come into existence. As we learned last week, Jesus is the creator and the sustainer of all life. Physical life, spiritual life, emotional life. All life actually has its origin in Jesus. That's why Jesus is called the light of life. That's why when you receive Jesus, you receive life. See, that's the good news of Jesus. For if all life exists in Him, you don't need to look anywhere else for life. All we need for life, spiritually, emotionally, physically, eternally, is found in Jesus Christ. That's what I discovered when I received Jesus. For years, you see, I had been searching for life as an adult. I had searched for life in partying, in golf, competitive golf, in drugs and alcohol, in friendships and relationships. I had searched for life in education, in an Eastern religion, and even in moral living. But I just kept coming up empty. Everywhere I searched, I couldn't find the life I was looking for. But when I received Jesus, the light of life, something changed. My life changed. My search ended. For I found life with Jesus. See, that's why Christianity is not a religion, it is a relationship. It's a relationship with God. Jesus came into the world as the light of life so that we might see in Him, that we might find in Him the life we were created for. That's why we are created by Him and for Him. See, we are created to be with Him in relationship, to know Him intimately and enjoy life as He intended it to be lived. Jesus is the light of life. And now He has given us a life worth living. And that's what we see next. For when you receive Jesus' life, the next thing you will find is this. You'll find a new kind of life. A new kind of life. Look at verse 6 with me. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Well, what is this new kind of life? Well, I would say this. It's a kind of life that is not immediately recognized with physical eyes. It's the kind of life that actually needs a witness to testify to it. Why? Because it's an invisible kind of life. It's a spiritual life. That's the kind of life it is. A life that can only be seen through the eyes of faith. You see, that's why God sent John as a witness to the light, as a witness to Jesus. In fact, anyone who ever comes to faith in Jesus must do so by first hearing a witness declare the truth about Jesus. And John the Baptist was the very first witness who told others about Jesus. In fact, anyone who has ever come to faith in Jesus can thank John the Baptist, because he was the first one obedient to God's call to be a witness of Jesus. A calling, by the way, which is now given to us by Jesus. That's why we have an Acts 1:8 strategy as a church. For we are called by Jesus to be His witnesses in our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So think about this with me. If we never speak about Jesus, if we never tell our story of faith where Jesus is the true light of life who gave us life, well, then the people in our lives will be left in the dark. They'll be left in the dark. Because if all we ever do is to live a good life, do nice things, good works, never connect our good life with Jesus, then all anyone will ever see from us is, well, that's so nice. You know, he's a nice person. He's a kind guy. Or they might see that, well, he's just a person trying to make himself look good. Or she's just got a little angle going for her. She's trying to be nice so she can get something back in return. Oh, yeah, they could see something different about your life. Someone may even be curious as to why you are so kind and so generous and so loving. But if we never tell about the one who made that difference in us, the one who made us that way, if we never speak of Jesus, if we never give credit to Jesus, then they'll be left in the dark. It's that simple. And if you're not convinced about this, then I want you to look at the life that Jesus lived. I mean, let me read part of that text again. It says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. See, Jesus did all kinds of good works, didn't he? He healed the sick. He made lame men walk. He raised the dead to life. He fed the 5,000. He freed people from their sin. And yet Scripture says he came to that which was his own, the very people of Israel, the chosen people of God, the people who were looking for God's chosen one, the Messiah, and they didn't recognize him. And so John tells us, but his own did not receive him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. In fact, the gospel accounts tell us that they actually rejected him. The whole crowd yelled, crucify him. Mm-hmm. And he was crucified for our sins. Why? Well, for the most part, when people looked at Jesus, they saw a man. They saw a religious rebel. Somebody who didn't buy the status quo of the temple. Someone who was a great teacher. But they could not see the light of God in him. They were blind to that reality. The people today are still blind to that reality about Jesus. The Bible says as much. In fact, the Bible says the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So, here's an interesting thing. Even though we may be obedient to God's word, and even though you may tell your story and make Jesus the hero of your story, lift up Jesus as God's Son, the Savior of the world, there will still be those who will not be able to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. True, says it here. But that should never deter us. Because there were those, you see, who did receive. There were people who believed John's message that Jesus was the genuine article, the real deal, the true light of life who had come into the world. This is how he puts it. He says this, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. See, they believed because they listened. They had ears to hear. They were drawn to the message of good news about Jesus. And from what they heard and saw in Jesus' life, they believed he was the genuine article that had come from God. They believed that he was the Son of God, who came from God as the true light of life. And it's interesting, it's not because their parents believed. And it's not because they chose to believe in him because he seemed like the best spiritual option available. No, they received Jesus because God opened their ears to hear and their eyes to see that he was the real deal. Let me just say this. No one comes to faith in Jesus by personally deciding to make Jesus your Savior. Now that sounds funny, doesn't it? But here's the thing. You cannot decide on Jesus like you decide to purchase a car, or choose him like you would choose a meal from a menu. Jesus is not a menu item from a list of potential spiritual options that suit your taste. Jesus is either Savior of the world or he is not. Jesus is either the genuine article or he is not. And the only way you will know that he is the genuine article is if God opens your eyes to see Jesus and opens your ears to hear his voice. God's word is very clear on this. It's not about you making an intellectually based decision as if you have the ability to decide whether he is God or he is not. That would put you on the same level as God. That's why it's not by human decision. No, in order for you to receive Jesus, you need spiritual illumination. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only one who convinces people that they are sinners who have offended God and need Savior. The Holy Spirit is the only one who reveals Jesus' true identity as the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit is the only one who can awaken a spiritually dead person so that he or she will gladly receive Jesus. So, if you're having a hard time believing in Jesus, you need to stop seeing him as a religious menu item. And go on your knees and ask God to help you see Jesus for the way he has revealed Jesus. Go on your knees and ask God for mercy for your sin. Go to your knees and ask God to open your heart to believe. And if God, by his Spirit, is working in your life and you are willing to believe in the one he says is his Son, then believe in him. Receive him. And you receive this new kind of life. This spiritual life. This eternal life of Jesus that will come into your life. That will be yours the very moment you put your trust in him. And at that same very moment, God will welcome you gladly into his family and you'll become a child of God. That's what John's saying. So I've got to ask you, even at this point in the middle of this message, is there anyone here this morning that needs this life? Is there anyone here that needs God to convince you that you are a sinner? Is there anyone here being drawn to put your faith in Jesus? Is there anyone here willing to believe that Jesus is God's Son? If so, I would say this. I haven't convinced you. It's the Holy Spirit who's doing the work. And if the Holy Spirit's at work in you right now, all you have to do is receive Jesus by faith as God's gift to you. I don't have to persuade you. I just have to present the truth. And if God's given you ears to hear and a heart to receive, you'll receive Jesus. You will turn from trusting in yourself, your intellect, and you'll put your trust in Jesus and receive the new life he so gladly wants to give you. See, God's word says this: if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe, and it is in our made right with God, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So right here in the middle of this message, this is what I want to do. If you're at that place, if the Holy Spirit's working in you, and you say, man, I'm ready to confess, I'm ready to believe, I believe, then what we're going to do right in the middle of this message is we're going to pray right here so you can confess and you can profess your faith. So I'm going to ask you all to bow with me and pray this prayer if this applies to you. So let's bow.
Father,
I believe you sent your Son to die for my sin. Thank you that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross has removed all my sin. I believe he has done that. And I confess freely now that Jesus is Lord. That he be my Lord. And I receive him as your loving gift to me. Thank you for Jesus and the new life I now have in him. Thank you for making me your child and for giving me eternal life. Thank you that I can now call you my Father. In Jesus' name. If you truly prayed that prayer at this moment, then God's word declares from this passage, you're not just saved, you're not just forgiven, but you're now his child. And God, your Father, and this new kind of life has been birthed in you by the Holy Spirit. You now have a spiritual life. You are no longer dead to God, but alive to him through Christ Jesus. And now you're able to now live a new way of life. Just like Jesus. Because that's, you see, that's the final thing you receive when you receive Jesus Christ. You don't just receive the light of life in a relationship with God. You don't just receive a spiritual life and have this new life bursting in you. You now get a whole new way of life. And that's what we see in the last part of this passage. You'll find a new way of life. Let's look at this. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' And out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Here's the good news. When anyone receives Jesus, you don't just get a new kind of life, you get a new way of life. John describes this life for us by describing the life he saw in Jesus. Jesus lived a life that was full of grace and truth. His way of living, as full of grace and truth, brought glory to God. And you want to think of that term glory, another word that you could fit in that is the manifest beauty of God. God is the most beautiful creation. He is the creator. Anything that you have ever seen and have been awed by beauty, magnify that 1,000, 1,000,000 times fold, and that is the beauty of God. And when Jesus came and lived among us, we got to see God in the flesh in all of his glory, all of his beauty, and all of that beauty was defined in that simple little phrase, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus. He was full of grace and truth, and what was he was full of spilled out into his life. See, Jesus was full of truth. He lived life the way God intended it to be lived. He loved his neighbor as himself. He treated all people right. He treated them with dignity, love, and respect. He never wronged a soul. And he was full of grace. Oh, let that one grab you. He never condemned anyone. He never judged anyone. Instead, he gave sinners, outcasts, unloved, what they did not deserve. He gave them complete acceptance. He gave them complete forgiveness. And he gave them love. And the way he lived among us, full of grace and truth, is now the way of life he gives us when we receive him. So Jesus revealed the difference between a life of relationship and a life of religion. Because you kind of want to know, what's the whole thing that John's talking about, the law coming through Moses? The grace and truth come through Jesus? That's the distinction. He throws this contrast up here for us to see very clearly that this life of religion came through the law. And that law did come through Moses, but the law was burdensome. No one could ever measure up. It was a life of performance where all you could ever see is how you failed. And so the mantra that went through everyone's life is, if you keep these strict standards of behavior, then you'll be accepted. If you can live this moral high ground, then you'll be accepted by God. But if you don't, you'll be rejected. And so you have to keep trying and keep trying to earn God's acceptance and keep trying to earn His favor. And you can never know if you measure up. That's what law does. It just points out where you fall short. And if you've ever lived with someone like that who always points out your faults, what do you like about that person?
Nothing.
Not much. In fact, if you meet someone who is a condemning, criticizing, measuring up kind of person, and you see them coming your way, what do?
Walk the other way.
Jesus was not that person. See, law tore relationships apart. It didn't give life. It only brought death. So this is why Jesus came. He came. This is what's so good. He came to give you grace upon grace. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. And what that means there, that phrase means this. With Jesus, there is an endless, limitless supply of grace. For once you receive Jesus, you can fail over and over again, and Jesus will forgive you over and over again. You cannot outstand the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean go out here and just act like an idiot, okay? Paul writes about that in Romans 6.
Right, he
does. Go read Romans 6 and you'll know what I'm talking about. That's another message. But once you've received him, you see, you're set free. You're set free from the performance treadmill so that you will never again have to gain God's approval, because you have it, and you will always have it. With grace upon grace, you get to live now as the apple of His eye, the beloved. And once you've received Him, you're now free, you see. You're now free to live the life He intended you to live, a life full of grace and truth, just like Jesus. That's the Christian life. That is why Jesus is the life. He's the life. That's why Jesus is the light of life. That's why from Jesus we receive a new kind of life. And that is why with Jesus there is a new way of life. And that's why God wants all people to receive Jesus, including you. Because He wants to change your life. He wants to change your life in ways you never thought possible. That is why He sent Jesus. Jesus is the life to all who receive Him. To those who believe in His name, He gives the right to become children of God. The church is over. Jesus is the life. Have you received Him?